Good evening, folks. Let me try that one more time. Good evening, folks. Yeah, good. Well, you know, I know some of you worked hard all day and don't want you going to sleep before I do. We are in the book of Numbers this evening. And I know some of you see that I'm going to try to cover 9 chapters and you're going, yeah, right. And no way he's going to cover. A little bit more of a survey as we go through the teaching of Numbers. And we seem to be numbering people anyway, don't we? We kind of like numbers. It seems like everything in our society has some kind of a number anyway. We're always looking for the numbers. We're looking for the results. We're looking profit and loss. You're looking for the numbers. We have where we live. You have an address. You have a number. All computers based on machine code, which is numbers. We just seem to like numbers. And, you know, numbering is not a bad thing. That can be a great thing to keep an account of what's going on in your life. But numbers can be a bad thing, too, because being the creatures that we are, we're always trying to produce greater numbers. We're always trying to beat last year's thing. We're always looking around to see if there's more people here than there were last week, if there's more people listening to the worship than there was last week, if you have more children in Sunday school. We're looking at the checkbook to see if there's more money in there this week than there was last week. We're always a numbering group of people. Well, tonight we see that the children of Israel begins to number themselves. Now, God has Moses number them. This entire book can be broken down into a 3-part outline. For those of you guys that are note takers, this is going to be an introduction, so there's going to be a few facts and things that I give you along the way. But if you can understand this foundation, it'll also make a lot more sense as we go on through the book. But the entire book could be broken down into a 3-part outline. And the first part of that outline would be the preparations for the departure from Mount Sinai. In other words, God gives the 10 commandments, and then he's telling the people what to do, how to get ready, and they prepare to leave Mount Sinai to go and do the things that God's asked them to do to make this journey. They end up at Kadesh first. They're supposed to go on into the Promised Land, but they never get into the Promised Land. They stop at Kadesh. Something that should have taken them a very short time ends up taking them a very long time, and it's because of a lack of faith. Fear kind of sets in their heart. Instead of doing the things God asked them to do, they don't get to enjoy the full benefit of what God wants for them because of fear. And we can relate, can't we? I mean, can't we relate that sometimes we get fearful? Sometimes God is leading us in a way or leading us in a place or leading us in a thing or wanting us to step out in a new area of ministry and we're scared. You know, we just don't want to do it. We just don't. And sometimes we regret it for years afterwards. Let me share something with you in my own life. I remember years ago, a good friend of mine, a young guy that came to know the Lord in my youth group when I was a youth leader many years ago, he fell in love, and he was going to get married, and I was playing in a band at the time, and you know, you kind of get used to having 3 or 4 other guys play with you, and he asked me if I would sing in his wedding, and I froze. I freaked out. I got so scared that I ended up telling him no. And I wanted to, but I just couldn't. You know, I mean, when you're playing a band with 3 or 4 other guys, you got all this support. You know, you got all these things propping you up. And when he asked me to do this, it was just me. It was just all by myself. And I'm going, no, you don't understand. I'm part of a band. I'm not this. Make a long story short, I didn't do it for him. And for many, 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 many years since, I'm thinking, you know, I should have done that. I wish I had have done that. It was something he asked me to do out of respect and love. And I wish I would have had the strength and the courage to step up to the plate and go ahead and do that for him. But whether it's fear of failure, whether it's just plain fear of any sort, a lot of times we just don't follow through. We don't do the things that we're supposed to do. And in the process, we may miss out on a great blessing. We're going to see that happen to the children of Israel. So, as I said, the first part of the outline could be the preparations for the departure from Mount Sinai. And that's basically chapters 1 through the first part of verse 10. The second part of the outline, number 2, if you would, would be the journey from Sinai to Kadesh. This is the wilderness journey. This is where, you know, what happens to them day by day, day in and day out, as they park it and set up the tabernacle and do their thing, and then they roll up the tabernacle and take off and go to the next place. This is what's going on with them from day to day. Chapter 10, second part, all the way through chapter 20. The third part of the outline could be the journey from Kadesh to the plain of Moab. Now, as I said, this could have been done in a very, very short time, but it takes them a very, very long time, about 38 years, to be able to accomplish the thing that they should have been able to do in approximately 2 weeks. Now, I don't know about you guys. This speaks to me in the sense that I don't want to spend 38 years trying to do something I can do in 2 weeks. And yet, some of us have been around the mountain so many times our shoes are worn out. We're on about the fourth pair of shoes from going around the mountain. God gets us ready and he wants us to take a step of faith, and we get to that area and we go, no, I can't do it. So we go around one more time. And it reminds me again when my son and I were out riding our quads, and we'd just gotten them and we were just starting to ride, and I was not very confident, right? And they're going up this embankment that's probably about a 35, 40 degree embankment, but it's probably 20 feet in the air. And we're out there with a guy that's been riding his quad for a little longer than us, and he's a hot dog, and he opens it up, and man, he's up that thing and down. And then finally Aaron gets enough encouragement that he's up it. And I'm sitting there for 15 minutes watching these guys, right? Trying to get up enough courage, trying to get up enough strength. And I'll even start, you know, and I'll start heading for it, and I'll go, oh no, not this time, you know. And I come back again trying, no, I'm not ready for this. Finally, you get to the point where you just give it the gas and you just go. But I wonder how many times in life we do the same thing. God saying, come on, let's go, tackle the mountain. And we go part way and go, oh, no, I don't think so. Nah, I'm afraid. So we see Israel doing the same thing, many, many more trips around the mountain. I don't want to do that spiritually. I want to get to the point to where I can have confidence in the Lord, not in myself, but I can have confidence in the Lord that where he guides, he provides, and if he's guiding, I'll be okay. I may not be the best at it, but that's not what he's asking me for. He's just asking me to step out and let him do the work through me and having the faith to do that. So, three parts: preparation for the departure from Sinai, number two, the journey from Sinai to Kadesh, and number three, the journey from Kadesh to the plain of Moab. Now, I don't think I'll be able to do the entire teaching of the book in three teachings. That's kind of a far stretch for me. I don't think that'll happen. But we will pick up the pace from what we did in the book of Leviticus. And let's take a look at, I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2 first to kind of set this thing up. Deuteronomy 1, verse 2. You see, we don't have to guess about how many days it was. We don't have to wonder how long it would have taken them if they would have been listening to God, because it tells us right here. What does it say? It is 11 days' journey from Horeb, Mount Sinai, same thing, by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days. Now, I want the 11-day journey. When I'm talking about being victorious in God, I want the 11-day journey. I don't want the 38-year journey. Now, let me ask you, where are you at in this journey? Are you on schedule? Are you on the 11-day schedule? Are you doing well on this? Or is it into the fifth year, sixth year, seventh year, eighth year? Have you ever met somebody, you just look at them and you go, this person just drips of talent. This person just drips of talent. They drip of gifts. They just drip of potential in the Lord. And yet you see them a year later, and they're still in the same place. They've not reached the potential. They're just not getting in and doing the things that the Lord would want them to do. Guys, I know folks that I see them 20 years later, and they're in the same place, if not a worse place. Still not grabbing for the brass ring. Still not doing the things that the Lord would want them to do. Okay, in this fourth book of the Pentateuch, five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We get the name from the numbering that takes place in chapters 1 and in chapter 26. You see, they do a census of the people in chapter 1. They also do a census in chapter 26, and we're going to see some things going on here. But the Greek word here for this numbering is where we get our English word arithmetic. It's the Greek word arithmoi, and that's where we get our arithmetic or our math from. Now, according to the dates that are given to us in the book itself, this covers a time span of 38 years and 9 months. Now, I probably won't break it down enough to show you exactly how we get to those. But again, it's not speculation. They're given. All the dates are given throughout the Word of God. So we know that this was 38 years and 9 months. Granted, there can be a little bit of 38 years. I read one commentator today that said 38 years and 8 months. Somebody else said 38 years and 10 months. But nonetheless, give or take a month, you know, we're pretty close on this. This is also referred to, guys, as the wilderness wanderings, sometimes the desert wanderings. Now, since I've grouped the outline in threes, I'm going to also show you that these wilderness wanderings can be grouped into three time periods also. Here's the first time period that it can be grouped into. There was a 20-day time period while they were out at Mount Sinai, from when they completed the tabernacle to the cloud that was going to guide them showed up. You guys remember the cloud? All right, their wilderness journey, all they got to do is follow the cloud. All they got to do is follow the pillar of fire. You'd think that would be pretty easy, wouldn't you? God says, this is the way I want you to go, and here's the directions. And you know, in fact, you don't even need directions. I'll give you a compass. I'll give you a cloud, and I'll give you fire. I'll give you a cloud by day, and I'll give you fire by night. All you've got to do is just follow it. All you got to do is just go in this direction, and you will be okay. The next area, or the next time frame, was the 38-year sentence. Now, why do I use the word sentence? And I don't mean sentence, like a word, like a paragraph, like a, you know, grammar-wise. This was their sentence. Why do they have a sentence here? They have a 38-year sentence for rebellion and unbelief. You see, James tells us what? That the blessing is not in the hearing, but the blessing is in the doing. So God is basically saying, look, I'm going to make you victorious. I'm going to give you a land full of milk and honey. I'm going to make you victorious over all of your enemies. Just do what I ask you to do. I've got the plan. I've got the roadmap. I've got the victory. I can see the end from the beginning. The victory is already yours. All you've got to do is just walk the land. Just do it. Just do the things that I've asked you to do. Now, I want to ask you guys, how's that any different than today? How's that any different than your Christian walk today? Is God not also victorious? The plumbing, he already knows the end from the beginning. He knows what we're going to need to do. He knows whether or not we're going to be able to do this or whether we're not. He knows how much we can kick in, how much he can kick in. He knows what the end result is. Now, we could freak out and worry about it, which is our first natural tendency. It is mine. Or we can go to him and pray. We can just go say, Lord, okay, what's the first step? Remember, we talked about doing the first step. You got to do the first step before you get the second step. God won't give you the second or third until you do the first. So we can take the first step and say, God, what do you want us to do? Or we can worry about it all the way through. We can worry about our finances. We can worry about our families. We can worry about our jobs. We can worry about the whole thing. Or we can do as we're exhorted to do, and that's to take our things before the Lord in prayer and supplication and give them to God and say, God, I don't want to worry. I want to replace my worry with prayer. So, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm laying these down. Have you found that it's not so easy to lay it down? It's easy to pray. Prayer is just talking to the Lord. But there's a big difference between praying and believing he's going to do something about it and praying and feeling like we got to help him out until he does something about it. Isn't it hard to just shut that off? You got this thing in your mind and you're worried about it and you pray about it, you give it to God, but you just keep stressing about the whole thing. You guys have heard me saying it's kind of funny, but it's really not a joke. I've told my wife many times, I wish I had a little bank of switches back here. You know, and I had one that was for anxiety. And I could just, when that thing comes up, I could just shut it off. I could just go pray and shut it off. And all of a sudden, anxiety is just gone. It's not there anymore. I'm just not worried about it anymore. It just doesn't come into my being. Wouldn't it be nice for several things that go on in your life if you could just shut them off until they were gone? Well, maybe, just maybe. Maybe if we grow strong enough in the Lord and we learn to trust Him and see Him work through these things, maybe that'll get easier for us. We can go to Him and just pray and say, Lord, just do whatever you want to do in my life. Back to the blessing. The blessing is in the doing. So He's saying, look, guys, if you'll do what I ask you to do, we'll get you there in 11 days. You'll be victorious. You can walk the land. It'll have all that you ever need. You will be blessed beyond compare. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. And everything will just be hunky-dory. But if you don't, 11 days turns into 38 years. Isn't it sad? I've lived long enough to see some folks who started out so well in the Lord. People with so rich in potential. You see them start out so well in the Lord, but you see them 20 years later and somehow they miss the blessing. It was within their grasp. The cool part about God is it's never over. So even if you've journeyed in the wilderness for a year or 2 years or 5 years, God says, all you got to do is come back to zero and start again. All you got to do is come back to where you knew I was at. When you heard me and I was loving on you, all you got to do is come back to that place and let's start the journey all over again. Okay, should have been 11. We saw that in Deuteronomy. When we're not listening, the walking turns to wandering. You see these people that do power walking? Man, they just got a purpose, right? You can see them going down. I'm thinking, why not run? You know, you look dumb anyway. Just run, you know. At least running, you don't look so silly, you know. But like, man, they're going. They got a purpose. There's like a machine, like a locomotive, and they're heading down the road. But they have a purpose. Their walk has a purpose. But there's a lot of difference between walking with purpose and just wandering. You see Christians like that. You can see some Christians and they're walking with a purpose. They know what it is that God wants them to do, at least within reason, and they're doing it. You know, they're not waiting for the big pie in the sky for next week or the one for 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now or I'm going to be a star or I'm going to be a this or I'm going to be a this. It's just in 2 years I'm going to do it. In 3 years I'm going to do it. In 5 years I'm going to do it. Now, I can understand that there might be a brief period of time while you're going to school. You know, when you're going to get your bachelor's or your master's or whatever, and that's your goal, so you kind of can't do much while you're trying to get that in order. But some people do that for 15 or 20 years. They're perpetually in school. You know, it's like, I can't really serve God because I'm getting ready. You know, I'm getting prepared. I am of the persuasion we need to be serving the Lord all the way through. Going to school, not going to school, working, having a family. We still need to, in the middle of all this, find a way to make it all work in our life even now. You see, I don't think God is as concerned about the end goal as He is the journey. I think there's lessons to be learned along the way. So we need to be serving the Lord all the way through this. Walking with a purpose. Has your Christian walk got purpose? Or are you wandering? I would have to say that if we're wandering, it's not the Lord. If we're wandering, it's because God had a purpose for us, and somewhere along the line, we zigged and He zagged. Somewhere along the line, we got off from what He wanted us to do. And if God is directing our purpose, we will know exactly where we are going. Okay, the number three in the wilderness wanderings, the timeline. There was also a six-month time period at the end of the 38 wanderings when the second generation comes up and they are actually able to enter into the plains of Moab. Isn't it sad that almost an entire generation of people either perished in the wilderness or never got to enter into the promised land? They never got to see what God had for them. want to know what God has for me. And I want to enter into that peace, and I want to enter into that rest. And you guys know the difference. You see people who, they just have a purpose. They know what God's called them to do, and they're busy doing it. And that doesn't mean that they're pastors or elders or deacons. Maybe they're corporate executives, but they have a purpose in life. They know what God's called them to do, and they love the Lord with all of their heart, and they're doing that thing that God has called them to do. I don't want just my kids to enter in. I want to enter in too. I don't want just my, I mean, I want my kids to, and I want my grandkids to, but I want to enter into it. I want a taste of it also myself. Okay, so between the first numbering of the people in chapter 1, the second numbering of the people in chapter 26, you have a whole lot of wondering going on. A whole lot of not following the Lord and not doing, a whole lot of grumbling going on, a whole lot of doubting. A whole, you know, guys, we're going to see them begin to grumble against Moses and begin to grumble against God's chosen people. Have you ever been at a place where the reason you're not succeeding is everybody else's fault? We live in a society today that there's a lot of that. The reason I'm not successful is because of my parents. The reason I'm not successful is because I had a lousy teacher in college. The reason I'm not this is because there's, you know, there are people holding me down, you know. The reason I can't get this is because of. And there's a whole lot of wondering going on in our life. Nobody can keep us from accomplishing God's will except for us. If we're determined to follow God's will and God's way and God's purposes, no one can stop us from doing that. And instead of wondering, we will have purpose. One other thing before we, gosh, I'm almost done here. I didn't even get started. But another thing I want to mention to you guys here is between the two numberings from chapter 1 and chapter 26, they lost 1,820 military men, fighting men, men of age to be able to fight. Now, guys, you remember that God told Abraham he was going to multiply him, right? Didn't he tell Abraham he's going to multiply him, not subtract? What's going on? You see, when we're not doing what the Lord wants us to do, we start losing. We start losing things. We start losing our house. We start losing our car. We start losing our spouse. We start losing our kids. We start losing ourselves. Doesn't it stand to reason if the God of the universe put you together and wired you and gave you a reason and a purpose in life, he knows how to make you happy? He knows how to make you fulfilled? He knows how to give you success? He knows exactly how to tailor life in such a way that when you approach it, you'll be going, this is great. This is what I was created to do. I love this. It also stands to reason that if you and I don't find that or not willing to submit to that plan, it's always going to be the why me. You know, they're keeping me down. The boss has never given me a raise. They're just out to get me. This is one thing after another. So I'd like to say this. If you're in a process of losing tonight, and you know what I mean. I don't mean one loss. I mean a couple losses. Two or three losses, three or four losses, four or five losses, to the point to where the losses are almost getting overwhelming. It's at least worth stopping and saying, God, am I on the same path you are? Or am I just wandering? Is my walk, does it have purpose? Am I doing the things that you've ask me to do? But be prepared. It could get kind of scary. He might say, no, you're not. And he might say, look, whatever you're doing right now for a job, you need to quit and do something else. Phew. Oh, yeah, great. I've been doing this 20 years. I don't know how to do anything else. That's not an easy thing, is it? But I've been this all my life. Well, yeah, but I didn't create you to be that. That's why you're not very good at it. Well, yeah, but I want to be a singer, but you can't sing. Yeah, but I want to be a rock star, but nobody will come to see your shows. You can't be a rock star. I want to be an accountant, but you can't add. And God may say, look, you got to give up this dream that you have and accept mine. I'm not saying that these things are easy because they're life-changing. But when you finally do, just kind of sit down and go, I've tried everything you can think of. All the way from being a flag man for a crop duster when I was in high school. Serious. I used to be one of the guys who stood at the end of the rows with a white flag getting Malathion poured on them as they went by. And that's why I don't have any hair. You know? Now, who knows what all it did? I picked cotton when I was a kid. I've been a technician on copy machines. I've owned a guitar shop. I couldn't even begin to. I was a carpenter, a union carpenter for a while, trying to find out what it was. And when I began to suspect what it was, it scared me to death. It scared me to death. The same fear I had when this guy wanted me to sing at his wedding, all by myself. I can't do that. What if I mess up? Well, what if you do? There were so many years there, I could not use my name and pastor in the same sentence because it scared me. I avoided using my name and pastor in the same sentence because it scared me. But when I finally said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, it started working. Oh, not without failures, not without embarrassments. You guys have been with me long enough. I can embarrass myself on a regular basis. But I can't begin to tell you the reward and the joy that I began to feel when I was doing what God would ask me to do. There's just no greater joy than doing what God asks you to do and feeling the fulfillment, the completion of it, and going home. I'll go home tonight and I'll be happy. I'll have joy in my heart having spent the time with you guys, having prepared this, and I always learn more than you do when I study. And I'll go home full of joy in that. So God wants to multiply, not subtract. God wants your life to be a blessing. He wants your marriage to be a blessing. Oh, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage, but there is such a thing as having God's plan. And when you lay down at night, you know that it's God's plan. There's no such thing as perfect kids, but there is an ability to lay down at night and be thankful you have your children. Most of the time. I'm only going to be able to give you about the first four verses, and we're going to have to double back next time, but look at verses 1 through 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting on the first of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, by their families and by their fathers' households, according to the number of names, every male, head by head, from 20 years old and upward, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel. These are the fighting men, guys. These are the ones that are of military age. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. With you, moreover, there shall be a man of each tribe, each one head of his father's household. Look at verse 46. We don't have to guess how many there were. 603,550 men who were able to fight. Now, I'll close with this. They didn't number the Levites because we've run out of time. They didn't number the Levites. They were to take care of the priestly duties. You see, in God's kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom. We have a democracy. One day we're going to have a theocracy. Everybody thinks that the democratic way is the way to go. Well, it's one of the better ways to go. History has proven itself that a democracy is a good way to go. But the best way to go is a theocracy. Well, what do I mean? Well, you don't have president. You have a king. But you don't just have a king who's fallible, a king who makes mistakes. You have God as your king. You have Jesus Christ to be your king. One day we're going to see that. One day the world is going to see that. When Jesus comes back and sets himself on the throne and he becomes the righteous heir that he's supposed to be. But I'll close by asking you this. Is he the king of your life? Is he the king of your world? Is your heart a theocracy? Because if your heart is a democracy, you're going to be in trouble. Why? Because you'll feel like you have the right to negotiate with God on everything that comes up. You see where this plays in for us as Americans? We think democracy is the best way to go. So naturally, if God comes up with a plan, we shouldn't be able to negotiate. But the reality of it is, we need to let him have first word, the second word, the last word, and every word in between. That's where the victory is. The Levites were not numbered. The women were not numbered. The children under the age of being able to go out to war, were not numbered. The men were not numbered over a certain age. So this 603,550 men, fighting men, they estimate the numbers to be anywhere between 2 and 4 million people that came out of Egypt. And these are the people God has to deal with. You're going to see him put them in order. Because can you imagine 2 to 4 million people going anywhere they want, doing anything they want, any way they want? Have you ever tried to get 2 or 3 kids to go in the same direction when you're shopping? Can you imagine 2 to 4 million people, random chaos? So we're going to see God set up an order. Even the way they camp around the tabernacle, even the way the tribes camp around the tabernacle, even the way he has them in order, when they all begin to march into the next place. And I'll close with this. That ordering cannot be done by us. If it's done by us, life will be random chaos. But if it's ordered by the Lord, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. If you and I will really trust the Lord to order us, to order our days, to order our families, to order our marriage, he will start multiplying in your life. And the things that Satan has tried to take away from you, God will begin to mend and God will begin to restore. If you look at your life and your marriage is almost over, life is falling apart, guys, isn't it worth trying it? Isn't it worth giving God a chance to put it all back in order again? He's promised that he will. Let's pray.